We finished the Malacha of Zareah. We're about to start the Malacha of Chayresh. So again, over here, there's a few lines about Chayresh and Dafayin Gimel and Beis, and then we'll see where that takes us. So over here on the third line of Ayin Gimel and Beis, we actually saw this Gemara already. The Gemara comments on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the first two Malachos in the order of the Lamed Tes Avos Malachos is HaZareah. We spoke about length about that, is planting. And then HaChayresh, and then plowing. This is a chelm. Who plants and then plows? First you plow and then you plant. Doesn't make any sense. So Gemara says, Michti, I ain't giving him a base, third line. Michti, 1 minute. Michrav Karavi Bereisha, people plow first. They don't plant first. Lisni Chayresh, first it should say Chayresh. Vahoda Lisni Zareah, and then it should say planting. So it should say plowing, then planting. Not Hazareah and then Hacharesh, but Hacharesh and then Zareah. So Gemara says, Tana be'eretz Yisrael kai. No, this Tana is in Eretz Yisrael. Dezari b'reish of ahodah karabi. There they plant first, and then they plow. What is it, chelm? There they plant first, and then they plow. So look in Rashi. Rashi says, be'eretz Yisrael, koshehi. It's very hard ground. Ve'ein yochel l'chasas b'loi harisha. You cannot cover the seeds without harisha. So you have to plow after you plant. Vashmuina, the chiddush of the Mishnah is the ha nami charisha, that this is also considered charisha. What do you mean also? What do you mean also? What also? What else is? What else are we discussing? This is also charisha.
As well as the plant, in a normal way. As well as the plant.
So Minchaschino says, look over here, take one of these. Minchaschino says, no, you're plowing twice. You plowed once. Of course, in order to show you plow first. You plowed, then you planted, then you plowed again. Then you plowed again. And Rashi says, Vashmu'inon, the Honami Charishi. The second plowing is also a Charisha. Look over here, the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch in Parshas Yisro. Where the Shabbos is one of the Aseres Adibros, has a whole kuntris about the Lamed Tes Avos Malachos.
Does the order make a difference at all?
We'll see. Va'ayin Rashi, he says. Dibei Masu Be'eretz Yisrael Kosav Kashihi Ve'enu Yachol L'Chasas B'loi Charisha. You can't cover over the seeds in Eretz Yisrael without plowing. Bashmina the Hanami Charisha. And this teaches us that this is also Charisha. Nir Midvarov says in Minchas Chinuch Devadei Be'eretz Yisrael Chorshin Gam Kein Bereish Chohu Olam. Of course they plowed first. They plowed, planted, but they plowed again. And the Mishnah is teaching us that you're not only chayv for chayresh for that first plowing, you're chayv for chayresh for the second plowing. Near midvarv devadei be'eretz Yisrael chayresh and gam kein bereish kachol ha'olam. Ach achar hazria, after the planting, chayresh and oid hapam. They would plow again. Vashmu'inan ha'mishnah, the Mishnah is coming to teach us, shalpam shniya na'mi chay mishum chayresh. Now that you are not only chayv for chayresh for the first time, you're chai for chayresh the second time also. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Is that a big chiddush, Rabbi Zai? Big chiddush? You're chai once, the first you plowed. Everywhere they do that. They plow, then they plant, and it's just certainly have to plow again. Oh, so the Mishnah's coming to teach us. You're chai even for the second plowing. What?
What does a plowing do again?
That gets the seeds underneath the ground. You plow a path. Of whatever they call that, a row. And then you plant the seeds in the row, so most of the times you have normal ground that gets covered over. Here you had to plow in order to get the seeds underneath. So Rashi's teaching us to even chayv for the second plowing. However, the Minchaschino is going to ask a question. Turn in the sheets that I handed out to you earlier, the packets.
You mean that? Yeah.
So one second. So turn in the sheets, there's a Rambam. The first Marmakam in the sheets is a Rambam. Okay, why does the Mishnah say Hazareah then a Chorish? Most people plow first, says Rashi, in order to teach us. That's the way the Minchasinuch learns. To teach us, you even chai for the second plowing. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. That's why it says Hazareah then a Chorish. Look at the Rambam, though. Perek Zayin of Hilchos Shabbos. Halacha Aleph. Melacha shechayavin alehen skila v'karis mezit okarben chatas b'shoigeg mehen avos mehen toldas. We know about all this. V'eluhen. These are the... These are the Lamed Tes Avos Malachos. What's the first one? Hacharisha. What's he doing?
He switched the order
back. The Rambam put plowing first. The Mishnah didn't do it, but the Rambam is smarter than the Mishnah.
What does it matter?
The Mishnah put Zerea first.
But what does it matter what order?
I'm telling you, why does it matter? Rabbi said, what is the chiddush of putting Choresh second? Says the Minchas Chinuch is coming to teach you that what? You're chayim not only for the first plowing, but even the second plowing.
What does it matter if it was the last malacha? What difference does it make? Why did it have to be?
If it's first, that means the first plowing you're chayim for. Then you plant. Let's say I plow again. Would you be chayim again or not?
Why does it matter if the malacha is in order or not?
Because if we're talking about the plowing before planting, then you would put Choresh first. Are we talking about the plowing before planting or the plowing after planting? Are you even chayiv for that? Or maybe only the plowing that is a precursor to planting?
Wait, didn't we say these are looked upon as each distinct category?
Yes.
So what does it matter if whether you...
The order itself implies something about the planting. Implies something about the plowing. Are you talking about the plowing that's the precursor to planting? Or are we talking about the plowing that even comes after the planting? So it depends. If you put Choresh first, then clearly you're only talking about the plowing that precedes the planting.
Right.
What about the plowing that comes after the planting? So the Minchas Chinuch said, that's why the Mishnah put Choresh after Zriah. Of course they plowed before planting, even in Eretz Yisrael. But it's coming to teach us an additional chiddush, and even chayiv if you plowed after you planted. I'll explain to you what the chiddush is, but give me a minute, okay? The Rambam does not do that. The Rambam puts it back in order. He switched, obviously deliberately, switched the order of the Mishnah back to what is logical, to Charisha before Zriya. But he's leaving out that additional Chiddush, the Yubichaya for Charisha, not only before Zriya, but even for the Charisha after Zriya. Why did the Rambam switch it back?
Is he not older than?
So that's the question the Minchas Chinuch has. Go, turn back to the Minchas Chinuch I just handed you. Okay, V'chein Kosev HaRav, Kan B'Mishnah, the Bar Tanura on the Mishnah says, "Demhaya karka kasha, v'karsha v'zoro." First you plow, then you planted. V'alka chaza v'karsha. You go back and you plow it again. V'chay v'charisha shnei. V'chay even for the second charisha. Im kain says the Minchas Chinuch, "Misider haMishnah from the order of the Mishnah, mistoiv din de charisha shnei." We learn out an extra halacha about the second charisha. So then he's left with the problem. Im kain. Lama lo kotzav haRambam din zeh. The Rambam never brings this. Da charisha shniya na michayev. The Rambam never brings it. In fact, the Rambam switches the order back to be charisha before Zriya, implying that the second charisha maybe it wouldn't be chayev for. V'tzarech l'lamdeinu gam dinim hanogim b'eretz Yisrael. The Rambam was so you might answer the Rambam is talking about those who live in Chutz Laaretz. First of all, the Rambam lived in near Eretz Yisrael, in the Mediterranean. He lived in Egypt. But v'tzarech l'lamdeinu gam dinim hanogim b'eretz Yisrael. You have to teach halachos about Eretz Yisrael. V'prat the l'lamdeinu dinim hanogim be made by shlishi tavol mimher v'yameinu. So he said, what about the third base hamikdash? Of course you have to know this. V'mikoshken adinim hanogim gamata. Okay? So the Minchas Chinuch wants to know, why did the Rambam leave this out? He switched the order back. Okay? So the Mishnah says, first, Zareya then Choresh. Shouldn't Charisha come before Zriya? Yes, in theory. But the Mishnah is coming, the Gemara is coming to teach us an additional Chiddush, says the Minchas Chinuch, that you're chayiv even for the second Charisha. That's why Charisha is after Zriya. Of course they plowed first, but they also plowed after in Eretz Yisrael. And this is a Chiddush, that you're chayiv even for the Charisha Sniyah.
Of course you plowed first.
That's what the Minchas Chinuch implies from Rashi, because Rashi says, V'ashmu inon dahar nami Charisha. This is also Charisha. That's an addition.
If you apply it first, then we never answered the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question was, if you're doing Charisha first, then it should be mentioned first in the Mishnah.
Right. But the Mishnah went out of its way to put Charisha in an illogical order to teach you something fantastic. And what's that? That you're chayiv even for the Charisha that comes after the Zriya. Of course the Charisha before the Zriya, you're chayiv for that. But not only are you chayiv for that, you're even chayiv for the Charisha that comes after the Zriya. And then the Minchas Chinuch asks, well, then why didn't the Rambam ever spell this out? The Rambam never mentions it. We're not going to go through the whole Rambam now, but he never mentions it. And more than that, the Rambam switched the order of the Mishnah back. Why did he do that? Yeah.
Maybe the Rambam is including that when he said you're hired on a kosher. So
yeah, but why did he go out of his way to cover up? The Gemara went out of its way to state this Chiddush, according to Minchas Chinuch. Why did the Rambam go out of his way to cover it over, to mute it?
The Rambam doesn't need to teach that Chiddush here. He teaches it elsewhere. So therefore, here you can.
Could be. There's a different reason, though.
Would there be a difference if the Mishnah started?
Everyone hear the question? That's the Minchas Chinuch's question.
Would it make a difference if the Mishnah started with Bona? Like, what does it mean? You're saying it means something that it starts with Choresh?
No, it means something that Choresh is after Zareah. It's a Sidur Depas. It's an order of baking bread. We said this a number of times. It's an order. that first it's Zorea, then Choresh, then what do you do after you plow? You cut, then you thresh, then you do this, then you do that. Why is this out of order? So it's coming to teach us an additional Kiddush. Yes?
Is it possible it's Behel Mecha?
So what?
So therefore you'd only be Chayav one, and maybe the Rambam was trying...
But the Rambam switched the order of the Mishnah. Can we agree upon that? Yes.
Yeah,
why did he do that? The Mishnah's coming to... The Mishnah went out of its way to teach us something, and the Rambam goes out of his way to cover it over, to eradicate it. Why? Why does the Rambam not feel...
Maybe he wanted to show that his Daf
could
not
tell us something else.
Why would you not be chayav for the second Chavisha?
I don't know.
The Mishnah Gemara says that you are chayav for the second Chavisha.
Can this be considered Behel Mecha or no?
I don't know why that would make a difference, to be honest.
You'd only be chayav one.
You're always only... No. You're chayav two for two Avos Melachos. We mentioned
but
that.
But it's the same one?
Chorish and Zorea are two separate ones. Oh, for Chorish. Yes, of course. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, but... You're talking about a scenario. We're talking about in theory. You can't say the whole theory. We're not going to mention the theory because of one possible scenario. I hear your point. Okay. Yeah, I hear your point. There's a good teretz, though. These are all possible teretz, but there's a better teretz. The better teretz is the following. Look over here, the Gemara. There's another Gemara here. Ayin Gimel Beis by Choresh. The Gemara says, after the two dots, V'Hachoresh. You see me about halfway down on the Yomud. V'Hachoresh, Tanov. HaChoresh v'achoyfer, what's included in Choresh? Person who plows. A choyfer, someone who digs. HaChoresh, one who makes a furrow in the ground. Choyfer is if you dig a pit. Kulan melocha achas hein, they are all one melocha. Amar b'sheshes. Ha'isalo gabshushitz v'notel b'bayis chayiv. If you have, you know, Rabbi said in the olden days they had dirt floors. Hard to imagine. The Chafetz Chaim had a dirt floor. His wife, who was into Gashmius, wanted and begged him to have a wooden floor. And Chafetz Chaim refused. He said, it's too much Gashmius. So he didn't have it. Ha'isalo Gavshushis, famous Maisa. Ha'isalo, not for now though. Ha'isalo Gavshushis. If you have a, what's a Gavshushis means, like a little pile of dirt. We're going to talk about this when we talk about sweeping on Shabbos. Ha'isalo Gavshushis. V'notla. And then you take it off. You take away the pile of dirt. Babaya is chayav mishum boina. If you do that in your house, you're chayav mishum boina. It's like you just built a house. You added to the binyan of the house. You didn't build a house, but you added to it, or you made it better. But you're chayav for boina if you nail a nail into the wall. That's also boina midaraisa. You don't have to build a whole house. If you add to the binyan, that's also boina.
Even if it's that's a different
thing. Besada, if you do this in a field, you even out the field, chayav mishum choresh. You're chayav for choresh. Okay, that's fair. Amar Rava, Haisalo Guma, if you have a hole, a little, you know, indentation, Vitimima, not only if you have a clump of dirt that you remove, you have a hole that you fill in. Guma's
a hole.
Yeah. Babayis, if you do your house, you're chai for boine. Besada, mishum charesh. If you do this in a field, you're not chai for boine, but you're chai for charesh, for plowing. Look at Rashi. Mishum charesh. Right on the side over there. Babayis, Mishum Choresh. You see me? Mishum Choresh, last two words on the line. What does Rashi say? Demarpe Ara. What does Marpe Ara mean? You loosen up the dirt. You loosen up the dirt. Guma, Vitimima. And if you have a little indentation, you fill it in. Ba'ofer Hainu Choresh. That's also Choresh. Why? Sha'ofer shemila bo, the dirt that you put in, have a riboy, is loose or is opened up. V'tayv lezria, and it's good for planting. V'hijve lekarka liyos nizre masada, and you made it flat so it should be able to be planted together with the field. What does Rashi say is the nature of the malacha of Choresh is... Ripoy ara, which really means loosening up the dirt. If you remember, we had the Gemara in Maseches Moed Katan on Daf Beis, where the Gemara had a machlekes amoroi between Rabba and Rav Chisda. What is the malacha involved in watering? Is it because you're zerea? When you water the ground, you add to the growth, you aid the growth of the vegetation, or perhaps it's because of chayresh, demarpe ara. When you water the ground, it loosens up the dirt. So you see, loosening up the dirt is the malacha of Choresh. However, look in the Rambam. Turn the page in our sheets. Turn the page. The Rambam. The Rambam doesn't seem to say that. Everyone have me parakas halacha aleph. Hachoresh kol shu chayef. If you plow a little bit, you're chayef. Hamenachesh beikrei ailonos. If you pull out weeds. Vamakarse masavim. Some other type of pulling out weeds. Oh, hamizaridus hasrigin. I'm not actually sure what that is. I guess pruning? No. I don't know what mizaridus hasrigin is. But we know what this is. Kidei liyapos esakarka. Rabbi, I'm not a farmer. I don't know. But kidei liyapos esakarka. If you do it, to do what? What's liyapos esakarka?
To make beautiful the land.
To make it better. Liyapos is to make it better. Hareza told us chayresh. That's chayresh. That's chayresh. Those are a toldo. Then he goes on to tell you what the yad malach is. Or turn the page. Turn, just flip the sheets. One second. Just flip the sheets. There's a Yushalmi in Mesechus Shabbos. Kol davar shehu lahanoyas hakarka. Anything that benefits the ground. Chayv mishum chayresh. The Rambam never mentioned about it being loose and being better for planting. What did the Rambam say? It's better for the ground.
Meaning that other things grow better? Because
it's better. Would aid in growth? Maybe, but it's not about loosening up the ground so it will grow better. Anything that you do that makes the ground more fertile, that's chayresh.
What type of ground are we talking about?
Dirt.
Dirt.
As opposed to... So look over here, Rabbi Yisai, look at this egoitah. He points out there's a fundamental machlekes harishonim here between Rashi and the Rambam. What is the nature of the malacha of chayresh? We have it? We'll pass it around.
Sorry, I give the yellow one. I should have spread it. Sorry.
Where's the rest? Oh.
Sorry.
No apology necessary. Me'egoytal.
What's yapos?
Yapos means to make better.
To make better the ground?
Yipoy means to make better, yes. Okay? Let's look over here. Egoytal, if cut and test. V'chein hamash v'pnei ha-sadeh, shas v'mechilten, ha'in gimam v'beiz, ha'mer v'sheshes. We saw all this. We saw all this. Skip down. He's just quoting the Rashi's that we saw. Hinei v'chol divrei Rashi. You see me about 10 lines down. First word on the line is Hinei v'chol divrei Rashi. He's just quoting the Rashi's we saw already. Hinei v'chol divrei Rashi mefurosh. Dekol inyan melechas chayresh, hu b'demar pei ara, where it loosens up the dirt. That's chayresh for Rashi. V'dvarav noivim mishas reish perakam de moed katan, and his words are emanate from the Gemara Maseches Moed Katan, that when you water ground, not only is there zareah, there's chayresh too. Madarkel shel chayresh lirepuyei ara. Just like chayresh weakens out, it loosens up the ground, makes it better for planting. So too, watering loosens up the ground. But Rashi understands the aside, the fundamental conceptual Machayev of Chayresh is because you loosened up the ground. However, turn to the second column. Look over there, second column. Aval HaRambam Paraches Mehilchus Shabbos Halacha Aleph Kosav HaMenachesh Beikrei Ilonos HaMekarsim HaSovim HaMezardes HaSrigim Kidei LeYapos HaKarka. Anything that you do that makes the ground better, Hareza told us Chayresh. Umevuar, and it appears, or it's obvious, the lab davka b'demar piara. You don't have to specifically loosen up the ground. Elako liyapos es hakarka. Who told us chayresh? Anything that you do that improves the ground is a told of chayresh. So we have a machlekes, fundamental machlekes between Rashi and the Rambam. What is the nature of the malacha of chayresh? According to Rashi, it is to loosen up the ground. According to the Rambam, it is to improve the ground, to make it more fertile. They're very similar, but there's a big difference between them. Okay, so according to Rashi, it's to loosen up the ground. According to the Rambam, it's to improve the ground, to make it more fertile. There is a Gemara that seems to be against the Rambam. Yeah?
Aren't they basically the same thing?
No.
To loosen it is to make it better, no?
Loosening is part of it, but it's any improvement to the ground. The Rambam never mentions loosening the ground. Every time Rashi talks about Chareish, he says... the Marpe Ara, because you loosened up the ground.
Wouldn't your Shami go against Rashi?
I have a Gemara that's for Rashi. Look at this. Turn to Gemara, pay Alpha Mebez. We've seen the part of this Gemara before. It's a little bit graphic. So if you can't handle this kind of stuff, you know.
Pay
Aleph and Beis. Pay Aleph and Beis. 9 lines down in the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna. You see me? Amar Rav Huna. Asa lefanos besade nir. 9 lines down in the Gemara. A person is not allowed to relieve himself in the middle of a field. A sade nir is a field that's ready to be planted. You're not allowed to relieve yourself in a field that is ready to be planted. B'Shabbos. Make a bowel movement. It doesn't mean to urinate. It means to make a bowel movement. My timer. What is the reason? Ilema. If you will say Mishum Dabsha, because you're walking on the guy just plowed his field, and here you are trampling all over it. I'm not a farmer, but I cannot imagine that that's good for the plants. So if that's the problem, that I'm trampling all over this guy's newly plowed field, I feel b'chol nami. Even during the week, this should be usher. You can't do this.
What, because you're damaging his
body? Yeah. Not nice.
Maybe some problem.
Huh? Then he'd use the bathroom. Why would he go in the middle of the plowed field? Lazy. All right. It sounds like a guy on the way. He shouldn't stop in a plowed field. All right. I don't know. Maybe it's his own. The error. So, wait a second. It says you shouldn't do it on Shabbos. If you're talking about a plowed field, you shouldn't do it in the week either. The error, rather, mishum asavim. Rather, because you might pull out weeds. Well, how are you going to pull out weeds? Because he's going to need to wipe himself with something. So we talked about this when we learned Zareya. He's going to wipe himself with a rock that has moss growing on it. And then he's going to uproot the weeds that are attached to the rock. So he might violate Zareya. Kaitzer. He's going to violate uprooting those weeds that are growing on the rock. No, so that's not a problem, the Gemara says. V'amar ish lakish. Ish lakish says, Tzura sha'olubo asavim. You have a rock that has weeds growing out of it. How do you have rock weeds growing out of a rock? It's talking about like a mossy type thing. Motu kanechba. You're allowed to wipe yourself with it. Vatayesh mimana b'shabes chayev. If you pull off the weeds on purpose, you're chayev. But if you just wipe yourself with it, that's allowed. The whole covered up brios issue, we discussed this last time in the past. Okay. Fine, so you're not worried about pulling out weeds. So why can't the guy relieve himself? Why can't he make a bowel movement in someone else's plowed property? If it's because he's going to step on the rows even during the week, not. And if it's because he's going to rip out weeds, we said we're not worried about that. Ella says to Gemara, Dilma nukit me iloi vishada litatoi. What's he going to do? He'll take a rock from a place that's on top of a hill, and he'll put it down into a hole in the ground, and he's going to even out the ground.
That is
chayresh. He's going to take from up high and put me on top of a hill and put down low in a divot in the ground. He'll be chayv like Rabba said. Domar Rabba, because Rabba said, if there's a indentation in the ground, v'timimon, he fills it in. Babai is chayv mishum boineh. If you do this in your house, you're chayv for boineh. B'sada chayv mishum chayresh. Yes. I have a different kasha for you, though. I don't want to get too graphic, but if the guy is making a bowel movement in the ground, we're not farmers. What does that do to the ground?
Isn't it better for the ground?
Fertilizer. So Chai Adam says, if you fertilize your ground on Shabbos, let's say you want to fertilize the ground on Shabbos. Can you do that? Depends. According to Rashi, should that be a problem? Might not be, it could be Sasa Midr Abanon, but it's not going to be the Malacha unless you want to drop some miracle grow on the ground. It's not going to be Chayresh Midr Raisa for Rashi. Rashi, Chayresh is loosening up the ground. He didn't loosen up the ground, he poured miracle grow.
But how is this Gemara proof for Rashi if the Rambam would also say?
Miracle grow only comes in liquid? No, they have like pellets, right?
Pellets.
Yeah.
Why, liquid's different?
Liquid is watering. So then you're watering, that itself loosens up the ground. But according to the Rambam, you should be chayv here. You know why? Why should you be chayv here?
And that was how
you should be chayv because you're chayresh, because you just improved the ground because you fertilized it. So the Chai Adam says, you can't fertilize the ground. The Rambam says, yipoy ara, making the ground more fertile or better, that's chayresh. So then fertilizing the ground too. So why did the Gemara here only worried about how the guy's wiping himself, that he might take a rock and put it down into a divot and then even out the ground and there's chayrish? It should have been chayrish for a different reason, because he's fertilizing the ground.
What about urinating?
I don't know if that helps the ground.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
I don't think it does.
No.
Oh,
you're
see.
Really
all right. They have a place. But over here, why didn't it ask for this for this reason? So must be, maybe this is Akasha. This is not like the Chayyalim. It's Akasha in the Rambam. You should have been Chayyav here just for the mere fact that he's relieving himself in the ground. That fertilizes the ground. Unless you'll say, Shrisa Shabbos says this. And he says, I really don't, it's really graphic. But Shrisa Shabbos says, I'm teasing, but Shrisa Shabbos says, no, fertilizer is good if it's spread out. Here it's on one spot. That's not helpful for the ground. But the Maisa is that this Gemara also plays a role in this Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. If you say like Rashi that Chayrish is loosening up the ground, then we understand this Gemara very well. You're not fertilizing the ground. There's no Isur in fertilizing the ground per se. It's Isur in loosening up the ground. But according to the Rambam, that it's about improving the ground, so then fertilizing should be included too. And if that's the case, you're going to have to say like the Shvistas HaShabbos says a Kvetch, that, that's only if you spread the fertilizer out. Yeah, if you pour a whole mound of fertilizer on top of the ground, that's not helpful for the ground. So over here, too, a guy relieving himself is not going to be helpful for the ground. It's not mixed into the ground, so it's not going to help.
So then if you say that, then this wouldn't be like a proof for us.
It's not a proof. Yeah, you could get out of it. You could get out of it. But it's related to Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. It gives it a little bit of teeth. What about fertilizing? According to Rashi, fertilizing might not necessarily be included in the Melach of Chayrish. But according to the Rambam, it could be that fertilizing is in fact included in the Melach of Chayrish. Okay, so we have a Machlekes. Again, let's remember where we started from. We started with the Gemara in Gimel and Beis. Now we might have a Teretz Tarkasha. We started with the Gemara in Gimel and Beis. The Gemara said that why does the Mishnah start with Hazareya? It should have started with Hachayrish. So we said, no, it's coming to teach us an additional Chiddush. What is that? That in Eretz Yisrael, where they plow, then plant, then plow, Yechayv not only for the first plowing, Yechayv even for the second plowing, not just for the first time. So that's a Chiddush. That's what Rashi said. Yechayv Ashmuina and the Hanam Yechayvishi. That's also Chayvishi, the second plowing. So he asked, but the Rambam never mentions that halakha, the Yechayv for the second plowing. And in fact, the Rambam goes out of his way to switch the order of the Mishnah back. The Mishnah said it has Zareya, then Hachayresh. The Rambam switches it to Hachayresh. Then Zareya, first you plow, then you planted. But what about that additional chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch, that you're chayv even for the chayrisha that comes after the planting? Why did the Rambam feel the need to teach us that? Or why does he switch the nature, the order of the Mishnah, that a dafka does not imply that way? Why did the Rambam teach us the chiddush you're chayv for the chayrisha after the Zariah too? So it could be that it's because the Rambam and Rashi are the shitasam. Meaning, Rashi understands what's the nature of the Melach of Chayrish. What's the nature of the Melach of Chayrish for Rashi? Loosen up the ground. So I ask you, if you loosen up the ground once, then you plant seeds, then you plow again, why would you have said you're not Chayiv? I might have said you're not Chayiv because you already loosened up the ground. You planted, now you're going to plow again, but it's loose already. So what do you gain by plowing again? Oh, that's a Chiddush that you're Chayiv again. That's a chiddush for Rashi. For Rashi, there's actually a chiddush in the plowing after planting. Therefore, the Mishnah went out of its way to teach it. But for the Rambam, what's the nature of Melach of Chayrish? Is to improve the ground. So when you, to make it better for plant, make it more fertile. So when you plowed it once, so yes, it's loosened up. But then you put seeds in. Then you plow it again. Is it better for planting? More fertile? Yes, that's obvious. For the Rambam, there's no chiddush here. For the second plowing, of course you're chayav for chayresh. You're improving its ability to grow, making it more fertile. So you plow it again. The nature of Malka is not to loosen up the ground. For Rashi, there's a huge chiddush here. That you're chayav for plowing even loose ground. Even if you plowed it again, it was loose already, you're chayav again. That's a big chiddush. For the Rambam, there's no chiddush. The nature of the Melach is not to loosen up the ground. The nature of the Melach is to improve the ground. So if plowing is improving the ground, my nafkamina, if you plowed once, or if you plowed after, or if you plowed again, or you plowed three times, every time it improves the ground, you be chayv again for chayrish. So it could be for the Rambam, there's no chiddush here. For Rashi, there's a huge conceptual thing that not, when you loosen up the ground, you plow again, you chayv again. For the Rambam, there's no chiddush. Rav Asher Weiss suggests this pshat to the answer to the Minchas Chinuch Kasha. Why did the Rambam leave out this chiddush Yechayv for the second plowing? So it could be because the Rambam is going l'shitosa. The Rambam understood the nature of Malacha of Chayrish is not loosening the ground. The nature of the Malacha is to improve the ground, and if you plowed it again, of course you'd improve the ground, and you'd be chayv again. Yeah.
The way we're actually describing that the second plowing is in order to cover...
cover the seeds.
Doesn't sound like it's dafka or the...
to loosen up the ground.
Doesn't sound like it's...
that's why it's a chiddush for Rashi.
So for Rambam, it's a problem.
Why?
He didn't have kavana to make better the dirt. It
doesn't matter the seeds.
No, when you plow, you're making the ground more fertile.
Than your kavana.
What is your kavana?
To cover the seeds. So
yeah, but... no, your intention is to plow. And plowing has two ramifications. Plowing covers over the seeds and makes the ground better. So for the Rambam, it's obvious. The Rambam doesn't need to teach us an additional Chiddush. There's no Chiddush in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah happened to be in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam's saying, okay, but we're not in Eretz Yisrael now, so why bother saying it? So the Rambam doesn't say it. Oh, it's a big Chiddush, and Chassidim said, but there's a big conceptual Chiddush in Chayvim for the second plowing. That's only Chiddush for Rashi, that the nature of Malach of Chayrish is loosening up the ground. But for the Rambam, there is in fact no extra additional Chiddush here.
Why do they do this stuff in Karisha? Because they need it, because the ground's
cold. Right.
So how's that not chayiv going to the Rambam?
Of course you're chayiv. It's obvious for the Rambam you'd be chayiv. The only reason that there's a big chiddush for Rashi says the Mishnah is coming to teach us a huge chiddush. Ashmin and the Hanami Kharishi. That's also Kharisha, the second plowing. Because for Rashi, it's a big chiddush that loosening the ground again is also chayiv.
Now why is it a chiddush?
Because you might have said that you just loosened up the ground. What do you gain by loosening
it's
it again?
Like saying that the Rambam would be a chiddush if you would say that. Oh, if you're liyafos again for a second time.
Because if it's loose, if the nature of the malach is loosening up the ground, so once it's loose, you loosened it up. So what do you gain by loosening it up again?
Because you're an Eretz Yisrael, the ground's hard, so you need to loosen it up twice.
I agree. I understand. But what I'm saying is, if the whole purpose is to open up the door to make the seeds be able to go in, you loosened up the ground. Once the door, you already loosened up the ground. So it might be Zorea, I agree with you, it might be Zorea to cover over the seeds, but why is it Choresh? Choresh for Rashi is loosening up the ground. You already loosened it up.
Because you're loosening up the ground more in order for it to...
oh, so maybe that's why you're Chayiv. But it needed to go out of its way to teach us that. Whereas for the Rambam...
for Rashi Shita, we need to go out of
the... yeah, for Rashi Shita, that's why you're Chayiv, but for Rashi Shita, it was necessary to stay. For the Rambam Shita, so that's what Rav Asher Weiss suggests. For the Rambam Shita, maybe it just wasn't necessary to stay because it's so obvious that you'd be chayiv for Chayrish. It could be related to this machlokes, the Rashi and the Rambam. What is the nature of the malach of Chayrish? Is it improving the ground, making it more fertile? Or is it loosening up the ground? Either way, though, one is only chayiv for Chayrish, whether it's improving the ground or loosening up the ground. The only chayiv for Chayrish if the ground is roi lizriya, if the ground is able to be planted in. If the ground is not something that's plantable, then you're not chayiv for Chayrish. That's the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. Turn to the Gemara Maseches Pesachim Memzayin. But you know what? Before we see that, see this. Maybe I should have put it on for context. It'll help us just understand the Gemara Memzayin at all. It's actually Nogea. It was Nogea in Yomid Yoma. I don't know if you could say in Yomid Yoma about something that passed already. Itmar, this is a Gemara with the daf before, the Amid before we're going to see. But it's important to just understand what Hoyo means. Itmar, we learn. Ha'efe mi yomtiv l'chol. If a person cooks from yomtiv to a day, not of Chol HaMoed, not to Shabbos, but to a Yom Chol. Rav Chisda Omar Loike, Rav Chisda says you violated an Iser, Dairaisa, of cooking from yomtiv, preparing from yomtiv to Chol, you get Malkus. Rabbi Omar Enoloike. Rabbi says there's no malchus. Why not?
What's this to the right here of saying?
Of cooking from preparing from Yom Tov to Chol. From preparing from Yom Tov to Chol.
It's not
this to
the right
to
preparing Yom
Tov
for Chol.
For that's Chol also, yeah, but not for Shabbos. We're going to see. Rabbi Amar ain't a loike. Rabbi says you don't get malchus. Rav Chisda Amar loike. Rav Chisda says you get malchus. Why? Lo yaminan hoyo. We do not say hoyo. We do not say. Since umikle le archim, since if you will have guests, chazile, it'll be fit for the guests. Meaning you might say you should be allowed to cook on yontif. You know why? Even though you're really cooking for that night. Because you know what? If guests might come, I might serve them this food. So if guests might come, I might serve them this food. So then that should be like cooking on yontif for me to eat on yontif. That's allowed. I'm allowed to cook on yontif for me to eat on yontif. So why don't I say, well, I'm cooking on Yom Tov? Yes, it's true, I have in mind tomorrow night's supper, but if I'll be inundated with guests, I'll have to serve them something, and I'll serve them this. Huh?
During Yom Tov?
Yes. You'll have to cook on Yom Tov.
No, I'm saying he's cooking on Yom Tov.
On Yom Tov?
To eat after Yom Tov?
After Yom Tov.
But he's saying at the same time, guests can come during
Yom Tov. Well, let's say guests come. All of a sudden you get flocked with, you know, sukkah hoppers.
Right.
What are you going to serve them? You'll serve them the macaroni and cheese that you're cooking for tomorrow night. What else are you going to serve them? You have nothing else.
Why are you cooking in the first place for tomorrow night?
I want to prepare now for tomorrow night. Tomorrow we go back to work.
But isn't it, I said we can't do that.
You can't do that. So he says, why do you get malchus? Because we don't say, since if guests will come, you'll have to serve them this food, that's matter the cooking. No, that's not matter the cooking. If guests come, guests come. But you don't say, well, since guests could come. Rabbi Omar, Rabbi says, ain't no loike. You don't get malchus. Amrinan hoyo. We say hoyo. What does Rabbi say? Rabbi says, really, you can cook on Yom Tov to Chol, you can cook on Yom Tov to Shabbos. You know why? Because as long as the food is able to be eaten before Yom Tov, I could say, if guests will come, I'll have to serve them this, so then I'm allowed to cook it on Yom Tov, even though I have in mind for Chol, I'm allowed to cook it now, because if guests will come, I'll have to serve it to them. So Rabbi says, you don't get malchus, I'm reading on hoyo. Rav Chisda says, we don't say hoyo. Amalei Rabbi the Rav Chisda. So Rabbi said to Rav Chisda, "Liditcha, according to you, Damarta lo yamin on hoyo. According to you, that you don't say hoyo. Ha'ech over mi Yom Tov l'Shabbos. How do you cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? If you say you say hoyo, maybe guests will come and I'll have to serve them this food. I don't expect any guests." Rabbi said, "How many times does a person all of a sudden get inundated with 1,000 guests right before Shabbos? It's not that common time to visit other people. Most people don't." Visit earlier in the day. You're not going to visit right before and ask for a whole meal. It's uncommon. So probably unlikely that you'll actually have this scenario, but since it's possible, so if that's the case, though, that you say hoyo, if you don't say hoyo, I'm sorry, how are you able to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? Amalei, he said to him, Mishum Eruve Tavshiwin. This is the whole Gemara of an Erev Tavshiwin. He says, no, because I make an Erev Tavshiwin. Erev Tavshiwin means that I start cooking for Shabbos before Yom Tov. If I start cooking for Shabbos, I make it 2 eggs and a challah roll. Before Yom Tov, I start cooking for Shabbos, so then everything that I cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos is viewed as a continuation from that which I started before Yom Tov. It's not viewed as if I'm preparing for Shabbos now on Yom Tov anew, it's viewed as a continuation of that which I started before Yom Tov. And we should make Ruve Tavshilin, Sharina Nisa Daraisa, we make on Nisa Midaraisa because if you're made up Erev Tavshilin. So he says to him, Amalei, Midaraisa Tzarche Shabbos Nasim Yom Tov. No, Midaraisa you can do Tzarche Shabbos on Yom Tov. V'rabbanan Huda Gazrbei. Really, you could cook on Yom Tov to Shabbos because it's all one thing. V'rabbanan made exeri, you shouldn't do it. Shemer Yomru Ofer Mi Yom Tov Avachol. Then people will say you could cook from Yom Tov even to Tuesday, regular Tuesday, which you can't do. Once they made Erev Tavshilin, everyone will know there's a difference between cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos and from Yom Tov to Chol. Okay? This is a big machlekes. What's the reason you're allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? According to Rabbah, the reason is because we say Hoyo. What's the reason you're allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? Is because we say maybe guests will arrive right before Shabbos and I'll have to serve them something so I could serve them this food. And according to Rav Chisda, it's because, no, you can really cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. It's just I need an Erev Tavshilin to show that I'm not to confuse cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos from cooking from Yom Tov to Chol. So the Machlek is two opinions in the Gemara. Why can you cook, if your mother ever asks you, why can you cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? Two opinions. One opinion is it's really mutter to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. The Erev Tavshilin is just as a reminder that you shouldn't cook from Yom Tov to Chol. The other reason why you can cook, the other opinion in the Gemara why you can cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos is you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, but it's because maybe guests will come and I'll have to serve them this item, so therefore I'm allowed to cook already now.
So it's one of the Erev Tavshilin in that case?
Do we just the Erev Tavshilin is only for the other opinion
we
in the Gemara.
We do it
to be chayshish for both opinions. Yeah.
So the first day...
That's why, even if you make an Erev Tavshilin, the food is supposed to be ready, all cooked before Shabbos. Why? So that if guests will actually come, you'll be able to serve them this food. So it's better to have the food actually cooked before Shabbos. We make the Erev Tavshilin for one opinion in the Gemara. The other opinion holds, no, it's because, why you have to cook from Shabbos to Yom Tov? because maybe guests will arrive and you'll be able to serve them this food. So then you really should have the food cooked before Shabbos
like
comes. Yeah, it'd be better if it's cooked before Shabbos, yeah.
Couldn't you just say that you're cooking on the day that I'm hungry and I'm going to eat some of it now? I'm going to make a big pot of pasta and have one bowl?
Sure, you can do that. Sure, but let's say you don't want to have the carbs diet or something. Yeah. No, I'm saying, of course you can do that. Or let's say you have kids. Or that's the standard hazard. You have kids. I have to serve the kids. So you make it for them, and then you're all right. Yeah. Okay, that's the principle of Hoyo. Hoyo means the following. Hayo means true according to the circumstances that exist now, there are no guests. But since if guests will come, I'll have to serve them this, so then it's allowed. That's what Hayo means. Hayo means we don't judge a situation based on the reality that exists in front of us, we judge it based on a potential reality. Not the reality that exists in front of us, but a potential reality. How sweeping is this? Then we should say, well, I should be allowed to talk on the phone on Shabbos. Maybe there'll be a chayla in the house and I'll have to talk on the phone. There's no chayla now, but maybe there will be once. Chayla.
Well, how far can we
take this? How far can we take this principle? You look at the bottom line in Tosfos. Tosfos says, in Tomar, Iyamin and Hoyo, and came Batal to Kom Alecha Shabbos. All of Shabbos is over. Because he could say, well, I'm driving the car. Oh, but if there would have been a chayla in the car, I would have been allowed to drive. So now I'm allowed to drive my car. Okay, so this principle needs to be understood and needs to be limited, of course, and needs to be understood in context. But what Hayo means is we don't judge a situation based on the reality that exists now, we judge it based on a potential reality that could be. And at least on Yom Tif, this klal exists, and that is that we don't judge it based on what is now, we judge it based on what could have been.
So,
okay?
You can cook on Yom Tif for the whole.
You can cook on Yom Tif for Shabbos. Maybe their guests would have come. And I'm allowed to, I would have to feed them something, so I'll feed them this. If you cook from Yom Tov to Chol, that's why you won't get Malkus. You still shouldn't do it.
Wouldn't the Chiddush be from Yom Tov to Chol?
Yeah, it applies from Yom Tov to Chol.
Right.
So it just says you don't get Malkus. It's probably still also to do, but you don't get Malkus for it. Because if guests would have come, we judge it based on a potential reality, not the actual reality.
Why would this be a Chiddush in regards from Yom Tov to Shabbat? Because wouldn't you need to cook for Shabbat anyway to have something to eat?
Yeah.
All these things, so there's no
chiddush for Hoel, is there? Yeah, Hoel. Why are you allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? Is it because you're just allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? Right. You're not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Chol, Yom Tov to Shabbos, yes? Or is it because no? It's because you're really not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So how do we cook on Yom? Maybe we should have to cook everything 5 days before.
Right.
The answer could be because since if guests will come, I'm not expecting guests. Guests have never come. All these years, guests have never come, and I've had to serve them my Shabbos food on Friday afternoon. But since guests could come, it's a potential reality. We judge the situation based on the potential reality. And that's why you're allowed to cook from Friday going into Shabbos.
That's separate than Erev Tavshilin?
That's a different reason in the Gemara. Not everybody holds of this Hoyo business. So to account for that opinion that doesn't hold of Hoyo, we make an Erev Tavshilin. And to account for the other opinion, we try and have all the food ready before Yom Tov to make sure that you can have Hoyo too. We try and have both of these.
If someone forgets an Erev Tavshilin and
can you rely on Hoyo?
Yeah. And a rav forget.
Rabbinic malpractice. In theory, you could have, but we're not sure we hold of Hoyo. We might be. We're chayshish for both opinions. So we'll make an error. So everyone holds him Yom Tov to Shabbos. You have one of the two. Everyone holds you have a heter from Yom Tov to Shabbos. From Yom Tov to Yom Tov, you might have Hayol, but we're not fully invested in Hayol.
You say Hayol is a suffix and the whole day is a suffix.
We don't treat Yom Tov Sheni as a suffix anymore. We treat it as a Vaday.
Wait, but what was the perimeter? What would we say the boundaries were for Hayol?
Yom Tov. It applies to Yom Tov. Tosfos asks, why not on Shabbos too? Let's just say you could drive the car. Oh, if I would have had a Hayol in the car.
On Yom Tov, I could drive the car today.
Yeah, so Hoyo needs to be understood in this proper context. We're not learning Pesachim now, but there's a very good explanation for Hoyo, but it's not really not for now. Okay? Turn them, Zayim it up. Agamar Pesachim. Which is Nogea to us. Just we need to understand what Hoyo means before you get to
the Pesachim. I think you should explain this, Rav
Stein,
because I'm going to
do
a thing about a lot of things.
We can talk about it after that. Kazanish has a beautiful explanation of what Hoyo means. Okay, Shalach Lei Rav Chizda L'Rabba. Rav Chizda sent to Rabba, Biyad Rav Acha bar Rav Huna, in the hands of Rabba bar Rav Huna, Mi Amin on Hayo, do we say Hayo or not? Vahatanan, he says, of course we don't say Hayo, Vahatanan, we have a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah where? In Makkos. We're going to see it for tomorrow. Yesh chayresh telem echad, a person can plow one row. V'chayavin olay mishum shmein olavin. You could be chayav 8 lavin for that one row. How? Hachayresh v'sharva kamor, you plow with a ox and a donkey. That's kiloi behema. That's one. If you're keeping score. V'hein mugdashim. Rabbi said there's no carbon that involves a chamar. There's no carbon that involves a donkey. There is a carbon that involves a shor. So shor is one type of hekdesh, that's a carbon. Chamar will just be dedicated to bedek habayis, to monetary value to the Beis HaMikdash. So you have two different types of hekdesh here. And you're using both, neither of which one you're allowed to use. So Rashi tells you that's two lavin. One for the shor, one for the chamar, because they're both hekdesh and different types of hekdesh. Shor is a carbon. Chamar is its monetary value is dedicated to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash because there's no carbon that's a chamar. Okay, so you have three. Three. You have plowing with kawai behema. You're not allowed to plow with an ox and a donkey together. And then they're hektish and two different types of hektish. So that's three. V'kilayim bekerem. What are you plowing? Wheat and grapes. That's kilayim hakerem. That's also two. That's four. V'shvius, it happens to be the Shnas HaShemitah. That's five. B'yomtiv, it happens to be on Yomtiv too, that's a malacha, that's six. And he's a kayin, and a nazir, and he's in a beis hatumah, that's seven and eight. Two people are not allowed to be matami themselves, lemeis, he's a kayin and a nazir. That's seven and eight. Ask the Gemara the following.
Is this specifically the reason why it says Yomtiv and not Shabbos? Or?
Yeah.
Shabbos would be skila. Yomtiv is a lav.
Ah, I'm sorry.
Okay, Yomtiv is a lav, Shabbos is skila. The Iyamrin on Hoyo. And if we say hoyo, a charisha loy lechayiv, you should not be chayiv for charisha. Why not? Hoyo v'chazdi l'kisoy dam tzipor. There are some animals, when you shech them, you have to cover over their blood. A bird and a chaya, like a deer. But behema, cows, you don't cover over the blood. It's a special halacha by birds and by chayas. If it's a chayas. So v'i amin on hoyo, if we say hoyo, why are you chayiv for the charisha on yomtiv? Maybe I'll need it for Echel Nefesh. I'll need it for cooking. It's true it's not the reality now, but Hayo means we judge it based on a potential reality that could be. What is the potential reality that could be? Maybe I would need it to cover over the blood of a bird, that a chicken. I need chicken.
Chicken falls in the category of Chayof, so do we cover chicken's blood after
It's a mitzvah, yeah. Amar Papa Bar Shmuel. So Papa Bar Shmuel said, no, we're talking about Barvanim Mukur Zalos. We're talking about pointed stones. Meaning, they're not granule. You can't cover over blood with stones. It has to be dirt. So Gemara says, no, but Re'uyos L'Kochon. You can grind them up. So Gemara says, no, you can't grind them up. Ketisha be Yomtiv Mishari. You're not allowed to grind on Yomtiv. So this, you can't say Hoyo. We can imagine a circumstance, but we can't imagine that you grind up the stones because you're not allowed to grind up the stones. So Mar says, no, Roy, Lekochon, Kelachayad. You can grind them up in an unusual fashion. You only chayv from Halacha on Shabbos or Yom Tov if you do it in the normal way. If you do it in the abnormal way, you're not chayv. So Gemara says, okay, so we're back. Why are you chayv on Yom Tov for plowing? You could use this to cover over the blood of the bird. Oh, as he said, we're talking about stones. So grind them up, Kelachayad. And use the dirt, the dust from the stones to cover over the blood. So Gemara says, "Bitzunma." No, we're talking about that you plowed granite or rocks that don't grow anything on them. So Gemara says, "What are you talking about? Sunma bar zriya? Can you really plow something? I'm sorry, you can't plant anything there. If you can't plant anything there, why are you chayv for charish? So you see from this Gemara." That you're only chayav for choresh if it's something that is in an area that can grow. So the Gemara says, if it's sunma, rocks, that you're plowing over, in which case you can't grind them up, it's granite, you're not going to be able to grind it up in order to cover over the blood. So, but the Gemara says, yeah, but then why are you chayav for choresh? You're chayav for choresh if it's a bar zuriya, if it's able to be planted. If it's not able to be planted, then you're not chayav for choresh. Okay, turn the page from the Gemara Maseches Pesachim to the Or Zeruah. So Or Zeruah makes this point.
Who's Or Zeruah?
Or Zeruah, one of the Rishonim, Chaf Mei Ashkenaz. V'lo mechayev mishum choresh. His name is called the Or Zeruah. The Sefer is called Or Zeruah because he wasn't sure how to spell the name Akiva in a get. How do you spell Akiva? Ayin Kuf Yud Beis Aleph or Ayin Kuf Yud Beis Hey? How do you spell Akiva?
How does
Gemara
spell Akiva?
Gemara spells it with an Aleph. But he wasn't sure how to spell it properly. Ayin Kuf Yud Beis Aleph, Ayin Kuf Yud Beis Hey. So then he had in his dream, he had a dream where he kept seeing the pasuk Or Zeruah LaTzadik Uli Yishrei Leiv Simcha. Or Zeruah LaTzadik Uli Yishrei Leiv Simcha. And he said the last letter of each word spells out Reb Akiva, right? Or Reish Zeruah Ayin LaTzadik Kuf Uli Yishrei Yud Beis Leiv Simcha. How's it spelled? With a hey. So he's derived basically from that dream that he kept seeing the pasuk Or Zeruah LaTzadiku Yishrei Leiv Simcha, that Akiva is supposed to be spelled with a hey.
But we don't get halachas from our
dreams. We actually don't pasuk like him. We pasuk like him. I spell it with an aleph. But that's why he called the sefer Or Zeruah. Okay.
Kaver, is that the pasuk that's on the outside?
What?
There's some story like that. The Rashi's Kaver ruined like the last word of.
Okay, so the Or Zeruah writes like this: "V'lo mechay mishum chayresh ela bekarka haruuya lizria." Only chay for chayresh if it's ground that is able to be planted. So either for Rashi or for the Rambam, whether chayresh is loosening up the ground or chayresh is improving the ground, it both has to be in order to be to plant. It's a precursor to planting. Kedemuchok beperek ilu oivrim. As we saw in the Gemara in Pesachim, the Parak Ahidus Nan, that the Gemara there asks, and that which we learned in the Mishnah, Yesh Chayr Telem Echad, V'chayv Alav Mishum Shmei Nolav, you can plow one row, V'chayv eight times, Ad, V'i Amar Taho HaKarish Elo L'chayv, Ad B'tzunma Parak, B'tzunma Basriya Hi, B'tzunma able to be planted, how can be Chayv HaKarish if it's not able to be planted? Alma, we see, T'chohecha D'karka Lav Basriya Hi, Lo M'chayv Mishum Karish. You see from here that wherever the ground is not able to be planted, then you're not chayiv for chayrish. Okay? So chayrish, whether it's like Rashi or the Rambam, whether it's loosening up the ground, or whether it is improving the ground, it is all as a preparatory stage for planting. And therefore, the ground has to be fit for planting. That's why the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa writes that let's say you want to play in a sandbox. A kid wants to play in a sandbox. Shabbos. Is that mutter or asur? So you say, well, what are they going to do in the sandbox? What do kids do in the sandbox? I'm asking sandcastles. You to remember from all those years ago that you played in the sand.
They dig holes.
Eat sand.
You dig. You dig holes. So you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to dig a hole. Are you allowed to dig a hole in a sandbox? So you'll tell me the first thing you should say is that a sandbox is not attached to the ground. It's a box. I know how it's not attached to the ground, right? Most sandboxes are not. So look over here. Rabbi said, what's the halacha with a plant that's not attached to the ground? Can you be chayv for zareah and a plant that's not attached to the ground?
Yeah.
That's what we talked about. If planting has to be attached to the ground, the planting doesn't have to be attached to the ground. Kaitzer might have to be attached to the ground. Zareah, we had a big machlokes about that. So let's say you plant something, I plant tomatoes, and I want to water the tomatoes in my office. Could it become chayv for zareah? That was a machlokes we had contemporary poskim between the Chayyadim and Aruch HaShulchan and the Eglei Tal. So the Minchas Chinuch has this suffix. V'imcharesh ba'atzit she'enu nakuv. If you plow in a pot, she'enu nakuv, that has no hole in the bottom. Imchay mishum charisha eino mevuor b'shas v'rambam. Never appears in the Gemara or the Rambam. Rak abitoresh, only with regards to uprooting. Sheyesh chiruk, that there's a difference between a pot that has a hole and a pot that doesn't have a hole. Uba'atzit she'enu nakuv, and in a pot that does not have a hole, potter. Aval kan, but with regards to charisha, ubezriya, eino mevuar, never says anywhere. So it could be you're not chayv in a sandbox because it's not attached to the ground. But Zareah, we mentioned, there are those who are machmir even if it's not attached to the ground. You're not allowed to water potted tomatoes even if they're not attached to the ground, because Zareah doesn't have to be attached to the ground. It's just as long as it grows, it grows. It doesn't make a difference where it grows. So if Charish is a preparatory stage to Zareah, could be if you fertilize a potted plant in your house, you'll also be chayav for chayresh. It doesn't necessarily have to be attached to the ground. So what about the sandbox? If it doesn't have to, it might have to be attached to the ground, it might not have to be attached to the ground. It might depend on that shayo that we had by Zareah. But even if it doesn't have to be attached to the ground, even if it does have to, it doesn't have to be attached to the ground, Shmir Shabbos Kol Chazal says, has anybody ever seen a weed growing in a sandbox?
Yeah. Oh, was I not supposed to answer that? Never mind then.
You've seen weeds growing in a sandbox?
I've been to some really bad sandboxes.
Okay, well, you have to go to better sandboxes. Has anybody ever seen weeds growing on the beach? Have you ever seen weeds growing on the beach?
I want to say yes again, but I don't know.
You're supposed to say, I've never been to the beach, Rebbe. What's that?
Before Sean Alfred.
What's that? The beach?
This is a separate beach.
Yeah, separate beach. That's what you meant to say. Things don't grow in sand, Rabbi Isai. So therefore, Shmir Shabbos Kol Chazal says that you're allowed to play in a sandbox. Sandbox is the only chayv for chayresh if it's a preparatory stage to Zareya that you're going to plant. So by sandboxes, nothing grows there. So then you wouldn't be chayv for chayresh. And in fact, the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chazal writes, Ein limchos. We don't have to protest against children that are playing in sandboxes. But later, Poskim say, what does he say? Ein limchos. The Mishnah Shmir Shabbos Kol Chazal got a lot of controversy over the first edition of his Sefer, so he tried to play it safe a lot. So what are Ein limchos? It's mutter. It should be mutter for the children to play in a sandbox. Why? Because nothing grows in sand. It's not fit for Zareah. There might be another reason why we're allowed to play in a sandbox, the last thing we'll see today. Turn over here to the Gemara Lama Tesmet Aleph.
Wait, so according to him, you can play the sandbox because doing anything in there won't make it grow better.
Not going to grow. But things don't grow in a sandbox. If you have dirt underneath your sand, you're a cheapskate. If you're a cheapskate and you don't put sand all the way down, you put dirt and then you put a little sand on top of the kids, that's an Israeli style sandbox. That's not a real sandbox. Sandbox has to be all sand. Then things don't grow.
Yes.
Then things don't grow. There might be another reason, though. There might be another reason why sandboxes should be allowed. Turn to the Gemara Lamed Tesamid Aleph. But the Gemara Lamed Tesamid Aleph is really commenting on a Mishnah Lamed Chesamid Beis. Look over here, Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Chesamid Beis. The Mishnah says the following: Ein noisnim beitza b'tzad hamecham. You're not allowed to put an egg next to a kettle. So that it will roll. Why would an egg start rolling after it's next to a kettle? Anybody here a chef?
The yolk will cook. It will cook on the inside.
For all of you people who don't know anything about cooking eggs, alright, this is the only thing I know how to cook. For all of you who don't know anything about cooking eggs, eggs don't spin. They don't roll. Because what happens is the yolk, I'm not a physicist, but the yolk keeps going with the egg, so it makes it stop. When it becomes hard-boiled, the way you can tell an egg is hard-boiled is if you spin it, it spins. Because now the egg is stuck and suspended on an animation like that. So you're not allowed to put an egg next to the pot so that it will roll, meaning so that it should get cooked. You're not allowed to do that. You're not even allowed to put it in a hot blanket. How did a blanket get hot? It was sitting out in the sun, baking on top of the roof. I take my egg and I want to cook the egg. How do you cook the egg? You put it inside the hot blanket. You're not allowed to do that. Rabbi Yossi Matir, Rabbi Yossi allowed it, because Rabbi Yossi said, you're allowed to cook in the sun. You're allowed to cook in the sun. What's the difference between cooking in the sun and cooking in a hot blanket that's from the sun? So Chachamim hold, no, there's a difference. You're allowed to cook in the sun, yes, because you can't confuse that with something. You can't confuse the sun with a stovetop. But you might confuse blankets that are hot from the sun with blankets that are hot from a fire, and that would be a problem. Okay? And then the Mishnah says, huh?
It's a gezeira more than
yes. Then the Gemara says, you're not allowed to put an egg in hot sand or hot dirt. Why? Again, because it might get cooked and it'll be confused. It might get cooked. But Rabbi Yossi does not disagree there. He doesn't disagree. So look in the Gemara over here. Lametasim et Aleph. You should not put an egg inside of hot dirt. Let Rabbi Yossi disagree about this. Why doesn't Rabbi Yossi say, no, you're allowed to cook in the sand? So Rabbi says he didn't disagree because he held it was a gzera shema yatmin beremetz. He held people might confuse sand with ash. And if we're going to let you put an egg in sand, you might come to put the egg in ash, which is clearly not allowed. That's like putting it in the fire itself. Hot ash is like the fire. Rav Yosef said, no, Rav Yosef didn't allow you to put the egg in the dirt. You know why? Mipnei shemezes afer mimkoimo. He says, Rashi, it's chayfer. When you dig that egg into the dirt, it's chayfer.
That's the reason you can't do it?
That's the reason, right? Rav Yosef didn't say it's mutter, because even though it's not also because of the sand per se, it's also because of chayfer. My beinayu, what's the difference between these two positions? Ika beinayu afer tichuach. The difference will be if it's loose sand, loose dirt. If it's because it might confuse it with hot ash, loose sand or loose dirt, I might confuse with hot ash too. But if it's because of chayfer, if it's loose dirt, there's no chayfer by loose sand or loose dirt. Why? Because what happens if Rabbi say, how many times if you dug a pit in the sand at the seashore, what happens? It collapses in. It never stays. I hate to burst anyone's bubble, but it always goes back. Why? Because it doesn't build like that. If you build, dig a hole in the dirt, real dirt, it doesn't go right back. But if you build a hole in the sand, it still slides back into its place. So there's no chayfer in dirt that keeps sliding back into its place. Look at Tosfos, different masel, Ika Beinayu. Ika Beinayu, Ofer Tichuach, Pirish Bekuntris, Deba Ofer Tichuach Lo Shai Chaguma. If it's loose dirt, you can't make a hole. Because it all slides back into place. Now, which implies in the Gemara Beitza that by loose dirt there is a guma. We have to say for Rashi, he means that Gemara that says that there is a guma and loose dirt is talking about where there's really hard dirt with a little loose dirt on top. When you remove the loose dirt, the pit will stay. But here where you have loose dirt or a sandbox, it will not last when you make a hole. All the walls of the guma will fall in. It won't last like that. Because the ground is not hard. So another reason to be makel by the sandbox is because another yesod of chayresh is that the pit has to last. If it's not going to last like that, it's all going to slide back in, then there's no chayresh either. So in the sandbox, the reason why it should be allowed is for two reasons. Number one, even if chayresh is improving the ground, the loosening up the ground, the whole machlek is we had Rashi in the Rambam, but it has to be in order to improve zariah, in order as a preparatory stage to zariah. There's a whole order over here. And chayresh has to lead up to zariah. Even though Chayrish is after Zareya in the Mishnah, but it's a preparatory stage of Zareya. So it has to be karka that is roi lizroa. It has to be ground that is fit to be planted in. If you can't plant in the ground, then there's no Zareya. So that's why a sandbox, number one, nothing grows if it's real sand. And number two is even if you'll dig a pit in the sand, as we see from the case with the egg, nonetheless, if it's offered to Kuach, everything's going to slide back into place. And therefore, there's no Chayrish there either. Real sand on the sand beach, by the way, is mukta. That's rocks or mukta. So too sand is muktzah. But if you have, what's the difference between rocks and marbles? Marbles are just rocks. The answer is one is set aside as a toy and one is not set aside as a toy. So marbles are not muktzah. Rocks are muktzah. What's the difference between Lincoln logs and twigs outside? Twigs are not set aside as muktzah, are not set aside as a toy, and Lincoln logs are. So sand in a sandbox is like Lincoln logs. It's set aside as a toy. So that would be allowed. Sand on a beach is not allowed because it's muktzah. So you have a muktzah issue here too. But planted for kids to play in the sandbox should be allowed for because it's not royal Israel and because the whole thing will cave in.
So you're not allowed to walk on sand on Shabbos on the beach?
We're going to talk about walking on dirt. Sand will be even better. No, sand...
Sand you for sure should be able to.
Yeah, for sure should be able to. Even if you make an indentation, it's going to slide back in.
So you're not allowed to pick it up? Or...
There's also probably no Arab there, so don't carry that yet. Other issues. We have to look globally too. Okay? Tomorrow we'll discuss chayresh with an animal and things like that.